Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Dalet. We start a brand new parak, the seventh parak of Pesachim, Ketzat Solon. We begin at the very top with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and tells us how you actually go and prepare the Korban Pesach. In the previous chapter, we learned that a person has an obligation to bring the Korban Pesach on Yudal in the afternoon, of course, and it has to be from either a goat or a sheep that is less than 1 year old, that is male. And now we learn, after you shecht it, what do you go and do to prepare the Korban Pesach for eating? So we learned previously as well, it cannot be no umivusho. It must be tzli'esh. It can't be eaten in a partially cooked way, a partially roasted way, in a fully cooked way. It can't be cooked in tzli'kedor, in a pot even without water, but it must be roasted on a fire. So the Mishnah starts and says, Ketzat solin es ha-pesach. How does one actually go about and roasting the Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah tells us, Mevin shpud shel rimon. You go take a spit, shpud is a spit, and it must be made out of wood that comes from a pomegranate tree. We'll see in the Gemara why this is bedafka, the best type of wood to use, because it doesn't have any complications that you could be getting juice or heat coming from this piece of spit that would not roast the Korban Pesach, but would end up cooking the Korban Pesach, either in juices from the wood, or if it was metal, then it would conduct heat, and it would cook it rather than roast it. So when you use this shpud, which the Gemara will tell us exactly how you do this, you take this pomegranate wood, and you put it basically, the Mishnah tells us, l'toch avo, l'toch piv, I base nekuvaso. You insert this spit, this wooden spit, the pomegranate wood, through the mouth, and you run it through the body, all the way coming out at the other end of the body, through the anus, and in this way, you will be able to roast the Korban Pesach over the fire in its entirety without cooking the Korban Pesach through the spit itself. And then, when you, remember, we flayed the animal, so you've taken out the insides. We already did the michui of the kirbov in the previous perek. You have to get rid of the peresh, the excrement that's inside the intestines. Otherwise, if you roast it in there, it would stink. The animal would be a foul-smelling animal. Nobody would want to eat the Korban Pesach. So therefore, you've removed the excrement from inside, but you have to put the intestines back inside the animal. So v'nosin es kirov, v'es b'nei meyav lusocho. You go and put the legs that you'd cut off the legs, we'll see, from the bottom of the knee. So that had to be roasted with the Korban Pesach. As Rashi points out, it has to be kulo ki echod mashma. It has to be all roasted together. You can't roast it separately. So you have to take the legs, the bottom part of the legs, which you would cut off, as well as the innards, which you had taken out to do the michui on the kirbov, and they have to be put back together with the rest of the animal to be roasted all at once. So, according to the Tanakhama, Rav Yossi, this is what you do, Divrei Rav Yossi Aglili, you go and put them inside. You would cut open the animal to take that out, and you put the insides back inside, along with the legs that you'd cut off, you put them back inside as well. That's Rav Yossi Aglili's opinion. Rav Kiva says, no. Rav Kiva Omer, if you'd put the insides back inside, so then they would not be roasted from the fire. They would be cooked, basically, inside. It would be almost like you put it inside a pot. And therefore, he says it must be kept outside. So Rav Kiva says, you go and put it on the outside. Now, we'll see that there's two possibilities as to exactly how you do this. Either you put it outside and it's like armor that is around the animal's body, or you put it up on the top above the head where the spit sticks out and it's like a helmet. And we'll see this is called Gidi Mekulos. We'll see this in a moment. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Mishnah says, Ein solinus a pesach lo al hashpud v'lo al haaskla. You're not allowed to go and take a shpud that is made out of metal or a grill and roast the Korban Pesach on an askel. An askel is a grill. Amar Rav Tzadok, Maisik Rabban Gamliel. One time Rabban Gamliel did such a thing. Sha'amai lo tevi avdo, tsei utzlei lanu es ha-pesach al askela. He said, go and roast the Korban Pesach for us on a grill. So the Gemara is going to ask, Maisik listor. First he told me, Allah, he's not allowed to do this. And then you bring a Maisik that goes and knocks this apart. So the Gemara in this Shem will explain exactly what happened. Now we start the Gemara over here. And it says, why are you bedafka telling us to use this shpud shel rimon, a pomegranate wood spit? Most people would think that when you go use a spit, it's going to be a metal spit. It won't burn up in the fire. It's normally what people use as a spit. So why can't you use a metal spit over here? So Gemara says, Aide de cham mikzaso cham kulo. This is an important idea about the conductivity of metal, that if you go heat up part of the metal, the heat is going to go through the entire part of the metal. Even the part that's not in the fire will get very, very hot quickly. You ever held on to something that in one hand you have the metal part, and the other hand it's in a fire, very quickly, you know, a pot handle will get hot sometimes through conductivity. So you have to be very careful. So too over here, if you take the metal spit, it's going to heat it up and it's going to cook the inside where the spit is coming into contact with the animal's body and not roast it from the fire below it. So this is called Aidi Decham Mitzasu, since part of the spit that's outside the body is going to get heated up in the fire, so the rest of the spit will get heated up as well, the inside part, and that will cook the animal rather than roast it. Because Matve Machas Hashput, and only in some way will it be roasted by the fire, the rest will be roasted or cooked because of the shput. And the Torah tells us, Rechbon Amar, as I said already, Tzli Eish, you have to have a Tzli Eish. V'lo Tzli Machem Es Dover Acher. The fire has to roast it and not heat coming from the shput. So that's why we don't take a metal shput. So where it says, okay, so why Bedavka pomegranate wood? Take any piece of wood. Why were you, Bedavka, telling us that it should be a shput shel rimon? So where it says, V'nesi shel dekel, why don't you take palm wood? Take a palm tree and take the wood from the palm tree. So where it says, I did the isle shive Mefik Maya. It has these shive. Rashi says that shive is, he gives the foreign language words, sha'asi shuros shuros. So it has some sort of a row after row type of wood to the palm wood, something like a groove of some sort. The Rabbeinu Chanano over here says that it has she'iva, it has the ability to pull out the water as a result, v'havi kemavushal. So if you took a palm tree and used the wood from a palm tree to make the spit, so some of the juice from the sap of the wood will come out and that will cook the Korban Pesach again rather than having the Korban Pesach roasted purely by the fire. So it says, okay, fine, that's why you don't want to use dekel. So nu take te'ena, the nesa shel te'ena, take a piece of wood from a fig tree. So why not use that? So it says, no. Aide de mechalchel, since the fig tree has a hollowness to it. Rashi says, for example, if you took something like ke'et shel narava, of a reed of a shel egos, or of a walnut tree, she'esh le'moch b'fim, they have sap inside. So there's this hollow area here that has sap inside, and mafik maya. And therefore this liquid will come out, and v'havalekim v'vushal. And again, you'll be cooking the Korban Pesach with the sap, the juices that come out from this type of wood, as opposed to the rimon, which doesn't have this. So therefore, take the pomegranate wood rather than either the dekel for the reasons we just mentioned or the tehena for the reasons that we just mentioned. Where it says, no, there are other trees. Menesi shel alon. Why don't we take, and alon is usually translated as an oak tree or a harv, buxer tree. So shikamore or a sycamore tree. Why not use the wood from those? What are the problems with using wood from that? How will that be not roasted? So the Gemara says, Aidi d'ispe kitre. It has something called kitre. These are known as knots. So Rashi points out that it also is going to secrete the sap from inside when you go and cut them with a knife. They have these knots, and you're not going to be able to slip the wood through the animal, so you're going to have to cut off these knots, and therefore when you cut off these knots, the sap is going to be released, and therefore using the oak, the buxer, or the sycamore tree is going to, again, cook it rather than roast it. Okay, so Gemara says, rimon also has kitre. Wait a second, if that was your reasoning for not using these, so then the rimon also has kitre, and when you're going to cut off the kitre of the rimon, so then you're going to have the same problem. So how come a rimon is good and these are not? Gemara says, Sharimon nami is be kitre. So how can you say the rimon is fine? Gemara says, no. Shie kitre. Shie means smooth. Rashi says, ain't sorch lahavi sachin aleim. It is smooth. It's the knots of the rimon tree aren't going to prevent you from inserting the spud smoothly inside the animal. And though there are knots, you're not going to have to cut off the knots. If you don't have to cut off the knots, then there is no problem. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, even though it does have knots, you could say no. Even if you have to cut them off, no, we buy the same one. Take over here, benagva barshasa. Rashi explains that this is a natiya, nagva is a natiya, a growth that's only 1 year old, bashnasa. And the rimon tree in its first year doesn't have kitre. So the less baked kitre. And therefore, even though you're right, if it had kitre, it would be a problem like the other ones. We don't say over here that they're smooth and you'd be able to insert it. Let's say you'd have to cut them off. So take it in the first year of its growth, and it won't have kitre in that situation, and it won't be a problem. Gemara says, finally, va'ika be pisake, but what about the psake? You're going to have to cut it off the tree. So when you go and cut it off the tree, so at that point, you're going to have a problem that the point that you're cutting it, the sap's going to come out from there. So even with the shputz or rimon, you have a problem. Shmuel says, no, you don't have a problem. The mafik lebe pisake levar, that when you insert the spud, the spud, you go and make it so the part that you cut it off, right, you have one end that you're not cutting off, and the other end where you cut it off from the tree. So that's the part that's going to stick out of the mouth of the animal, and it won't be inside. And any juices that come out from there, from the cut end, are going to just fall straight to the floor, and they won't go and roast or cook the animal. And therefore, the Korban Pesach will be purely tzli'esh. We fulfill the pasuk that it must be only tzli'esh and not tzli machmas dover acher, or cook. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah tells us use pomegranate wood, which has all the milas and none of the chisronos of the other wood or metal that we talked about. Gemara continues and says that our Mishnah must nisim the local Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah cannot be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya, we're learning the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kishem Shahashpud Shel Eitz Eino Nisrof. Just like the wood that you're using as a spud, the shpud, the shpud shel rimon that we just mentioned, just like that, it's not going to go and catch on fire. It doesn't burn when it's inside the animal. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Kach, the same thing happens over here. When you take a shpud, shomateches, eno matiach, it also isn't going to go and get heated up. Just like somehow the fire can't really get into the shpud so rimon, so the fire doesn't get into the mateches as well. So you don't have a problem, according to Rav Yehuda, of having this hot metal shpud going and cooking the Korban Pesach. No, the roasting will come more from the fire below it. That's what Rav Yehuda holds. Amlo, the other Tanoim said to Rav Yehuda, no. Cham mikzas or cham kulu. That's what we said previously, that by a metal shpud, even if the inside wouldn't get heated up because the Korban Pesach, so to say, is blocking the fire from heating it up, but the parts that are outside the animal, the part that's sticking out through the mouth and the part that's sticking out through the other end, so they're going to get heated up by the fire. And again, the metal, because of the conductivity, so if even part of it becomes hot, the whole thing becomes hot. But wood, shpud, the shel rimon, so even though the outer parts would get high, it won't conduct it. Wood's a very poor conductor. And therefore, eino cham kulo, so the inside parts won't get heated up. And therefore, they're not going to cook it from the inside. All the roasting is coming from the fire below it if you're dealing with a shputz or rimon. So our Mishnah obviously says that you can't use metal. You must use shputz or rimon. Clearly is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it doesn't make any difference. He holds that you could use a metal shputz. Then we said in the Mishnah of an osin is krov chule. We said, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, you put the kirbov, the insides that you took out to do the michui, to get rid of the peresh, so now you put it back inside. And you also take the lower parts of the legs that you cut off, and you put it all back inside, because it must be kulo ki echad, as we learn from the pasuk. So that was the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva said, no, you make it like either the helmet or the armor, the gidi mekulus, that we'll speak about again in a moment, that we had previously in the Gemara and Daf Nun Gimel as well. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Koreyu Tuch Tuch. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that you put it inside. So Rabbi Shmuel called this type of roasting Tuch Tuch, because it would make like cooking sounds of Tuch Tuch type sounds as it crackled as it was inside. And Rabbi Tarfon Koreyu Gidi Mekulos. Rabbi Tarfon called it a Gidi Mekulos. He held like Rabbi Akiva, and he called it in this situation a Mekulos type of a gedi. Mekulos, Rashi over here says, means a helmet. Previously, Rashi says it means like an armor. Here, Rashi uses the pasuk that we have, that it says, Kulso denachsha is the translation of kova nechoshes. So therefore, it means like a helmet. And what you do, according to the Rashi over here, is that you go and take the kirbov, and you take the legs, and you attach them to the spit that is above the head of the animal, the part that's sticking out from the head of the animal, so that's where you put it, and therefore it looks like a helmet on top of the animal. Previously on Daf Nun Gimel, Rashi had said that you put it chutzolo bitzido. He said that you put it on the side, and it's like armor around. That's what this nechoshes is, this mekulos aspect is basically that it's armor around the sides of the animal. In either event, there's a machlokus here in Rashi, Stira in Rashi. One place he says it's like a helmet, one place he says it's like armor around the side of the animal. And that's what Rabbi Tarfon called it, gedi makulos. A gedi, again, was one of the two types of animals, a goat that you'd have according to Pesach, and that maybe was the more common one. That's why he called it gedi makulos. Fine. Tana Rabban, we learned in a braisa, ezeu gedi makulos. The we learned previously as well, and Chacham taught in this brisa that the minhag was not to use a gedi makulos on Leil Pesach. We have gone much, much further in terms of the minhag. We don't have anything roasted on the night of Pesach, so it shouldn't be Rechman Islam thought that a person is eating kachim b'chutz, that he's eating actually karm Pesach. We went so far as to say that a person even shouldn't call his Pesach order of meat. He shouldn't call the butcher and say, can you give me my Pesach order? Because it could be mistaken that he's actually using it as the karm Pesach. That's how far we've gone in the minhag. But here in the Gemara, the brisa tells us that they just had the minhag not to have a fully roasted with the entrails inside put up as a helmet or as the armor on the side. You shouldn't do that the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, the way that we had the requirement for the Korban Pesach to be roasted. So they weren't, the minhag was not to have this gedi makulos on Leil Pesach bisman hazeh, when we never don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the Braisa says, "Ezeu gedi makulos." Define for me exactly what is this gedi makulos? The also lecho b'leil Pesach b'sman hazeh, that we have the minhag not to have such a gedi makulos to eat on the night of Pesach. So the Braisa says it means kol shit slo kulo kiyachad. It means that you roast it all together in the fashion that we said, that you have the inside parts and the legs either as this helmet or as the armor around it. That's what this gedi makulos. That it's also b'sman hazeh to go and eat on the night of Pesach. However, the Braisa says, if you were to cut off nechtach mimen waver, if you were to cut off one of the legs and not roast it with the rest of the body, so then it's no longer called a gedi makulos, because the gedi makulos had all of the legs roasted with it. So if you cut off something, so then it's no longer a gedi makulos, and you could actually eat it on the night of Pesach, roasted, even though the 90% of the animals roasted, you just cut off a piece, that's not called the gedi makulos, and you could eat that on the night of Pesach. Likewise, nishlak mimen waver, if you cut off one of the avarim and you cooked it, and then you roasted it afterwards. So, ein zeh gedi makulos. That's also not called the gedi makulos, that the minhag was not to have such a gedi makulos on the night of Pesach. Nowadays, Rechman Hassan, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Hashtar, Gemara says, yesh lomar nechtach bimenu eiver. If you're telling me that if you just cut off one of the pieces and didn't roast it with the rest of the animal, that that doesn't fulfill the minhag of that we don't have gedi makulos nowadays, so you're allowed to eat that nowadays. So certainly, the afagav to call mitvi le bahadei, even though you then go and take it back and you roast it with the rest of the animal. Now we're not talking here about just the legs that were normally cut off and put back with the animal. Here you're talking about cutting off a larger piece and you don't have it all roasted together with the animal, even though you put it back and roast it together with the animal. Amar Shlomo, you said that that is not called gedi makulos, and you could eat that on the night of Pesach. So then why are you telling me nishlak mibaya? Why do you have to tell me that if you cook it and then you roast it, that that is also not called gedi makulos? Even if you don't cook it, it's not called gedi makulos. So certainly if you cook it, it should be called gedi makulos, and you shouldn't be allowed to have it. So Amar Rav Sheshes says, it means shishalako b'mechubar. It means that you never cut it off. And even if you only cooked part of it and then you roasted it, that still is not called a gedi makulos, because since you cooked part of it, it takes it out from being a kosher carbon pasach, if it had been a carbon pasach. And therefore, the minog of not having a gedi makulos was only if it was exactly like the carbon pasach. If it's not exactly like the carbon pasach, so then on the original minog, that they just wouldn't have the full gedi makulos. This is not called the full gedi makulos, and therefore one would technically be able to eat it on the night of Pesach, because it's not capable of being a korban Pesach. Now we have a statement from Rabba. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, Hai mulyasa. What is this mulyasa? So Rashi tells us a foreign language word for it. And he says, Kamosh anu mimalin hatzloyin vatarnagolin, that we stuff the tzled, the little shepsula, and the tarnagol, or a chicken, bein batzer liatzamus, and we insert something inside of it, in between the meat and the bones. So this is like a stuffing. So this mulyasa, if you were to go and stuff an animal with meat, so it is sharia, it is good. Now what's the problem here? It has nothing to do with Korban Pesach. This has to do with the fact that blood, you have raw meat over here, and you're going to put it inside the animal, so the animal is going to get cooked, but the meat is going to have the blood coming out. And that blood, this meat, either Rashi says, has only been salted partially. It's only afilu mocho kamli chatzli. You only salted it enough for roasting. And here it's going to be cooking inside the animal. You need a larger amount of salt to go and bring out the blood. That's why we salt meat, to get the blood out. So when you're cooking something, the animal's like stewing in its own juices. So if you didn't remove all the blood through salting, so then the blood would come out and then go back inside. And that would be a real problem. So therefore, we salt meat heavily when you're cooking with it. But if you're roasting with it, Rashi says you don't have to salt it as much. You do what's called kemali chatzli, a much lesser amount of salting, because the fire will draw out, when you're roasting it, the fire will draw out the blood and it will drip down to the bottom where the fire is. And therefore, it's not going to go back inside. That's why a lesser salting works. Tosa says you don't have to salt it at all in this situation. In any event, Rabba says that this mulyasa, when you put the meat inside the animal as a stuffing, is not a problem. We're not concerned over here that the blood is going to come out from this meat and go inside the meat of the animal that it's stuffed. So that's what Rabbi says. Amalei Abayi questions his Rabbi, and he says, but why isn't it a problem? You have this raw meat, which is either lightly salted, like Rashi says, or not even at all salted, like Tosu says, and you put it inside the animal, so the blood is going to come out, and it's going to go into the meat of the animal that the stuffing is being put inside, this tle or this tarnagol. So the blood should get absorbed, and it should make it no good. Why, Rabbi? Abayi says to Rabbi, is this acceptable? You're saying that it's sharia. So Amalei, so Rabbi says, you know why? Because kibola kach polta. We have this famous rule in the way things get absorbed. Just like it gets absorbed, so too it will spit it out. So you're right. The blood will come out of this raw meat that we put inside as a stuffing. But just like it goes into the animal, it will come out of the animal with the cookie. So Gemara says, do we have any support for Rabbi's statement? So our Mishnah, Nehemi Messiah, let our Mishnah be support for Rabbi's statement that the Muyasa is Sharia. What is our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, Nosin is Krovius Nehemi Evusoch. According to Yosef Glili, you put it inside. Now, how come over there we're not concerned about the blood that is inside the Kirbov and the Raglayim? How come we're not concerned that that blood will come out? It's like stuffing. You're putting it inside. So why aren't we concerned there that the blood comes out and is going to ruin the Korban Pesach? Don't we say over there in our Mishnah, Lav Mishum Damrinu Kibolo Kach Polto, just the way it got absorbed, so too will spit it out. So any blood that was in the Kirbayim or the Raglayim that is going to come out from them and go inside to the Korban Pesach will then come out from the Korban Pesach. So too over here, Rabbi says, the Mulyasa, any blood that was inside this raw meat that was used as a stuffing that comes out and goes into the surrounding animal will come out. Kibolo Kach Polto, this famous principle in the Dinim over here of mixtures. So the Gemara says, I may know. Our Mishnah is different. Shiny Hossam. In the Korban Pesach, you know what? Kivan de'ika base shchita de mechalchel. Since you have the base shchita that has been opened up, and it's a big hollow opening, so therefore, the Gemara returned to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Meidav doive. So the blood has a way to exit without going back inside the animal. So the blood that comes out of the Kirbayim and the Raglayim and the rest of the animal, it's going to find its way out through the huge hole in the Shechita area where you have the potential for all the blood to come out. It's not Kibolo Kach Polto, it's where the blood never went into the animal. It all flowed right out. Neidav Daive, as Rashi points out, Lefik Yishin Nit Lebetanur, it's hung up over the fire. Upi Beis Shechitaso, and the opening by the Shechita is lamata, is downward. So therefore, the animal's blood will run out, will flow out because of gravity, and Adam Yotze Derech Chalol Atzavar, and the blood will go out through this big hole in the neck. And Vishoseis Derech Beis Hashchita, and it will fall out, it won't go into the meat, and therefore, that's why in the Mishnah, it's not a problem of being absorbed. But you can't tell me Kibolo Kach Polto. Maybe that's not true, and therefore, there's no riot that the Muyos is Shari, according to Rabba. Where it says, okay, maybe about the following Brisa. Name of Messiah, maybe the following Brisa could be a support for Rabba. What does the following Brisa say? Halev, when you want to cook heart. So how do you go and cook heart? Koro, you have to open it up, you have to cut it open. Umotzi is dumb. There's a lot of blood collected in the heart, in the chambers of the heart. There's blood that's pooled over there. So you got to get rid of that blood. So cut it open, the heart, before you cook it. And you take out the excess of blood that's inside the chambers. And then you can go and cook it. Lo karo, what happens if you didn't do this and you cooked it with all the blood inside? No problem. Koro, you open it up after you cooked it. Liacha bishulo, and it's still going to be good. Mutter. Now, how come? It got cooked. How come we don't say that the blood got absorbed from the inside into the surrounding muscle of the heart, and therefore it got absorbed, and it should be no good? My timer, why don't we say that? Mustn't it be? La mishum damrina, isn't it because we say, kibolo kach polto, that whatever blood was in the chambers that absorbed into the heart, when you cooked it, it came out of the heart again. Kibolo, just like it got absorbed, kipolto, it will spit it out. So the Gemara says, that should be a good raya to Rabbah, that the muyosa should be shari. So the Gemara says, no, the heart again is different. Just like the carbon pesach we said is different, you couldn't bring a raya to Rabbah, so too the heart is different. Why? Shiny lave. The lave is different because the shia, it's very, very smooth, and therefore the blood doesn't get absorbed. However, with the muyasa, so therefore it's not smooth inside the animal, and it's going to be able to get absorbed, and therefore you can't bring your raya from the fact that you can discharge the blood of the heart, even after you cooked it, that's kibolo kach polto, that's a different scenario. So we don't have a raya to Rabbah. Nadi Gemara says, now if you keep the word ine, we have it in parentheses, ine would be, are you telling me that we don't have a raya to Rabbah? I'll show you that we do have a raya to Rabbah. Or if you don't have the word ine, it could just be, well, we just proved that we don't have a raya to Rabbah, and here's another situation, we don't have a raya to Rabbah. So, v'ha Ravin Saba, Ravin, the oldest Ravin, as opposed to there were other Ravin, so this is Ravin Saba, what did he do? He was a Talmud of Rav, so he wanted to prepare for his Rebbe some food. So Ravin Saba, Tafle Hahi Bar Gozla L'Rav. He made supper for Rav, and he took this Bar Gozla, that's a young pigeon, a young dove, and he did Tafle with it. Now, Tafle, Rashi explains, means he took a dough, Be'isa, and it's something called Pashtida. This is similar to what we have, like is a knish, and he basically put the dough around this Bar Gozla, and it was a meat knish. So that's what he did. And then he roasted it. So the dough potentially absorbed all the blood that came out from the meat. And he gave it to Rav. Now, Rav said, that sounds very good. Amalei, Rav told him, E ma'ale tifle, if in fact it's good, havli ve'echo, give me some of the tifle, give me some of the dough, and I'll eat this blood-soaked dough, because the meat from the Bar Gozla, so it expelled the blood from inside of it while it was roasting. It came out. So there's no problem with the meat, because if you're roasting it, the blood is not going to come inside. It's going to fall outside. So like Tosa said, you don't even have to salt it a little bit. Rashi says you have to salt it a little bit. What we call kimlichas litzli, the amount of salting you have to do for roasting, which is much less than the salting that you do for cooking. But what about the dough? The dough's going to absorb all the blood. Nevertheless, Rav said, if it's good, I'll have some of the bread too. So how could he do that? Oh, it mustn't be that Rav was correct, kibolo kach polto. So where it says, no. The reason why this was allowed here, again, it was a unique situation. Hayi b'smida. We're dealing over here with smida. Rashi says, b'isa shel soles. This breading that you have, this knish that you have around the meat, so is made out of solas. And solas, this flour, the eno nidbek is kokach. It's not one hard piece of dough. The nifreches meyelea. It's like little crumbs, and it breaks up, and therefore the blood doesn't get absorbed within it. The blood will come out and fall to the bottom when you roast it. Badam yotzi mineno. And therefore, this smida, Rashi says, is not going to physically be able to absorb the blood. As the Gemara continues and says, the miparir, because it comes into crumbs, right? It's lashon pirurin, and it breaks up. So therefore, it's not like it's a solid dough around the bread, and therefore it absorbs the blood. The reason why this is not a raya to Rabbah, kibolo kapoto, because it never got bolo. It never got absorbed here. It went through the little pieces. The blood went around each of these little pieces that were miparir, that were crumbs, and the blood went to the bottom where the fire was, and therefore it never got absorbed into the dough, and therefore, Rav said, perfectly permissible for me to have some of this dough that was roasted here, because the blood didn't go into the dough, it went around the dough and then fell to the bottom of the roasting oven. So we have no raya. We tried three different times to bring a raya to Rabbah, and we weren't able to do so. Doesn't mean Rabbah's wrong. We're just going to bring a raya to him. Mora says, V'ho Rava ikla lebe Reish Galusa. One time Rava went to the house of Reish Galusa, and they served him supper. The house of Reish Galusa was a wealthy house, and they served him a nice meal, and they gave him over here this breaded meat knish type of a dish. So it says, Utifalo le bar avoza. They gave him a young goose, a bar avoza, avoza is a goose, a bar avoza is a young goose, and they gave it to him in this type of a meat knish food. And he said, Omar, he said, e lo de chazite, if I hadn't seen with my own eyes that the juices that came out from this meat of this avoza, the zig, that's like the gravy, the juices that came out, kizuza, was like glass, chivra, white glass. In other words, there was no blood in it. If I hadn't seen myself that the juices were perfectly clear, and in other words, no blood was in them, lo achlimine, I would not have eaten the meat knish part. I wouldn't have eaten the knish part. I would only have eaten the avaza part. Now, that certainly seems to suggest, not like Rabba, it seems to suggest that it would have absorbed the blood inside the dough, and therefore it wouldn't come out, and it wouldn't be Kibbolo Kachpoto. So Rava now is going against what Rabba's Shita was. And that's what the more questions. Visoka Daito Kibbolo Kachpoto. If Rabba's right, so then what difference would it make whether it was clear, like white glass, the juices that came out, or whether they were red like blood? My irya kisig, afilu kilozig nami. What difference should it make? If you hold Rabba's principle of Kibbolo Kachpoto, who cares what went in, because it's going to come out. So why did Rabba say, it's a good thing that I saw that there was no blood, it was pure gravy, there was like white glass, that the juices that came out were clear of any blood. That's why I can eat the knish part. Otherwise, I wouldn't have eaten it. So, but that goes against what Rabba said. So Gemara says, no. Again, this is a unique case. You can't bring me a raya before to Rabba. Here you can't bring me a raya against Rabba, because here the breading, the knish part, hasam bechivrisa de sharir. Here we're dealing with a certain type of dough that Rashi says is sharir, is kosher, the enopolto. This is like one solid piece of dough that is not going to let any blood go around it, like with the smida, and therefore it's going to absorb everything, and it's going to absorb it very, very well. And there, in this situation, you can't say kibolo kachpolto. As Rashi says, kosher, the enopolto. It's very, very sturdy, it's hard, and therefore anything that comes inside of this knish is not going to come out. So this is the exception to the rule. We normally do say kibolo kachpolto, but that's not true when you're dealing with this type of the knish, this type of a breading, which is so hard that it won't allow anything to come out. Rashi says, b'chivrsa, this type of a bread is kemach nekia. It's made from very, very finely sifted flour, like arrows, kein shalonu, shein osolus. It's not coarse. So the fine flour allows it somehow to become a very, very well-compacted type of a knish that doesn't allow any blood that gets inside of it to actually come out. So we have the two exceptions. We have the smida, which is so loose that the blood never gets inside of it. It just goes around it. And then we have the chivrsa, which is so hard that it's so compacted that the blood can't get out even though it goes in. But it implies that a regular breading, then Rabba would say, Kibolo Kachpoto. How do we pass it? The Gemara says, V'hilchasa. So the smida, which we said is so crumbly that the blood goes around it, so everybody agrees, Ben Asmik, Ben Lo Asmik, whether you see red juices coming out from the meat and going into this surrounding breading known as the smida, which is a very loose, crumbly type of a breading, or even certainly if it's not, main asmik, main low asmik, that's shari, it's perfectly good. Again, the critical fact here is even if it's bloody, it's good. The chivrusa, and that which we said, that it was such a thick type of a dough, very, very finely sifted flour that really compacted well, and it is very, very, very capable of absorbing without spitting anything out. So the chivrusa, so then, unless you see, like Rava, e zig, if the juices that came out were not kizuga chivra, were not like a white glass, so if it's like white glass, so then it's sharia, then it's good. Elo, but if it has a reddish tinge to it, then also, then it's no good, because, again, in this type of dough that's called chivrusa, it is going to be extremely capable of absorbing without spitting it out. But a regular knish, dishar kemochim, that aren't the smida one extreme or the chivris or the other extreme, so regular kemochim, you just look not to see if even if there's any little red. You see, ismik, if there's real red, that the knish is red, so then if the bread part over here is red, then you can't say kibolo kachpolto. Obviously, some of it's still inside. So ismik, if it turned red, then it's usher. But lo ismik, if the dough itself is not a reddish color, so then shari, so then we can assume kibolo kachpolto. Nadigma goes back and says, Hai Muyasa. That's what we talked about when you put raw meat inside the animal and use it as stuffing. So, man di otsar, according to the opinion, it says you're not allowed to do this, so this is true. Afilu puma l'sachas. This is even if you're roasting it with the opening facing downward. So, one could have made the argument that it will flow out, but we're saying no, that according to the one that says it's no good, so it's not good, even if you could argue that the blood is flowing out. And this is different than the Korban Pesach, where there was a much bigger hole, and therefore, there by the Korban Pesach, we said that it definitely flowed out. But here, you don't have such a big hole, so it's not necessarily going to go out. Uman de Share, but the opinion that says no, kibolo kach polto, it's not a problem, so then afilu pumaliel, even if the opening is facing upwards, and the blood is not draining down, he holds kibolo kach polto. How do we pass? The Gemara says, "V'ilchasa v'yis ashare afilu pumul el." We pass like the more lenient opinion, the latter opinion that we just said, that even if the opening is upward, so it's not the blood draining out, but we pass him over here kibolo kach polto with the muyusa, and it is shari, it is permissible, even if it's not draining down, even if the opening is up and it's not draining out. Now the Gemara tells us there are three types of meat that have a certain potential consideration with the blood coming out of them that we have to take into account. What are these three types of meat? Umtsa, that's raw meat with blood coming out of it. Beye is the testicles of the male animal, and this also has a certain tendency to have blood inside of it. And mizuke, and the large vessels, the blood vessels of the animal, the large blood vessels also have blood inside of them. So in all of these situations, there is a consideration with the blood, and this is a machlokes pligibor of Acha v'Ravina. And Rav Acha and Ravina argue about whether this is good or not, the umtsa, the bey, and the mizruki. Now, in general, the Gemara says an aside, but all the Torah Kula, throughout the Gemara, throughout all the Lalochos, when Ravina and Rav Acha argue with each other, in general, Rav Acha is the Chumra position, Ravina Lakula. Rav Acha Lachumra, Ravina Lakula. That's in general, but here's the three exceptions. So in general, we have the Ravina's the cool opinion, the Hilchos of Ravina, the cooler, and we pass in the more makel opinion of Ravina over the more machmir opinion of Rav Acha in general. Here it's the other way around. Levar mehani tlas, where Rav Acha is the more makel opinion, the Rav Acha lekula, and Ravina is lechumra in regards to the umsur bey and the mizruki, and similar to before, where we said we pass it like the more makel opinion of Ravina, here we pass it like the more makel opinion of Rav Acha for these three dinim. Even though we normally pass like Ravina over Rav Acha, that's only when he's more Mekel. When he's more Machmir, then we pass like Rav Acha over Ravina. The Rav Acha Lekula over here, Ravina Lechumra, the Hilchos of Rav Acha Lekula. Fine. That's the aside. Now, what are the Machlokas in regards to the Umtsa, the Bey, and the Mizruki that Rav Acha and Ravina are arguing about? And we're going to pass like the more Mekel opinion over here of Rav Acha. Now, I Umtsa the Ismik. Here we're dealing with this piece of raw meat that was red, because you have blood coming out of it. So the meat itself is red. So what should you do? Chatche, go cut open the area of the meat where it's red so the blood can come out. Umalche, and then go and salt it. Afilu likdera, and even if you're putting it into a pot and cooking it, as long as you're salting it for a pot, you do enough salting, it's going to be good. Shari, even though there was blood there, it was asmik, the umtsa, the piece of meat over here, it was red, it was bloody. Nevertheless, once you cut it open so the blood can flow out, the regular salting will be able to work. Shaftei bishpuda, but if you go and put it into a shpud and you roast it, shari, then it's perfectly good because we say, meitav doyev, the blood will flow out. And therefore, even if you don't do a full salting, if you do like Rashi said, just melichas letzli, that would be fine. Again, Tosfos before says you don't even have to salt it at all. Aminagus is salted lightly, but he says technically you don't have to because when you're roasting it over the fire, the blood will fall out and it will therefore, meidav doyev, it will flow out and therefore there's no reason even to salt it at all. Now, achte agumre, the last situation is where they have the machlokas between Ravina and Rav Acha. So there's no machlokas on if you cut it open and then you cook it and you salt it properly in cooking, that's not a problem. And there's no problem if you're roasting it, no problem, nobody argues. Where Ravina and Rav Acha have the machlokas, plegi ba Ravina Rav Acha, when you're dealing with putting it on the coals, achte agumre. Now, what's the machlokas? Chat osar, we know it's Ravina, it was the one that said the machmir position is no good. Chat shari, and Rav Acha is the one that says that it is permissible. Now, man di osar, according to the one that says it's osar, according to Ravina, so why is it osar? He says matzmis tzomis. He says when you go and take this coal and put the meat on top of the coal, so it's going to shrink the meat when you put something on a coal, so it shrinks it, and therefore the blood won't be able to come out. and it will stay inside the meat. And that's why Ravina says it's no good. Uman Deshari, according to Rav Acha, says it's permissible, Mishav Shoyev. It's going to come out anyway, because the heat from the coals will draw out the blood. V'hilchasa Mishav Shoyev. And we pass it like the more lenient position over here of Mishav Shoyev, that the blood, even on the coal, will be able to come out. Next, V'chein Dei. What was the machlokas in regards to bay? Same exact thing. Chatchinu, since it has a lot of blood in it, you have to cut it open if you're going to cook the testicles. And then, umalchinu, you salt it for appropriate cooking. And if you salt it enough and you've cut it open, so then you can even cook it, shayin, and no concern about the blood, because all the blood will come out through the cutting it open and the salting it. Just like before, with the umtsa, no machlokas. Everybody agrees that that's fine. Likewise, if you want to roast it on a shpud, tolinu bishpuda, if you're roasting on a shbud, either you have to lightly salt it, like Rashi says, or Tosu says you don't even have to salt it, because all the blood is going to come out from the roasting. Shayon, because made of dayiv, because it's all going to flow out. No machlokas over there. Again, where do they have the machlokas? It's only if you put it on the coal. Achtinu agumre, if you go put this bay on the coals, there, pligi bar ravacha ravina, that's where they have the machlokas. Again, chad osar, ravina's a momachmer position, he says that it's osar, the chad shari, and one of them, ravacha, he's the one that says it's permissible. Mandi osar, according to ravina, says that it's osar, mitzvah samas. Again, same reasoning as before. He says that putting it on the coal is going to make it shrivel up, and the blood won't be able to flow out, and therefore, if the blood is inside of it, it's osar. Well, mandi shari, but according to ravacha, says it's permissible. That's because Mishav Shoyev, it's going to fall out, it's going to be able to come out, even from the coal, and therefore, it is perfectly permissible. And here the Gemara doesn't say, the Hilchos of Mishav Shoyev, I'm not sure why, in the first case, by the Umsa, it said it, here it doesn't say it, and the next case, by the Mizraki, it's going to say it again. And since we just brought down before, that in these three cases, we paskin like Ravacha, Lakula, so I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't say over here, the Hilchos of Mishav Shoyev, okay, didn't say it, but that's what the Halach is anyway. Now we go to the third example, the cases of the large vessels that have blood inside of them. Again, same exact thing. If you want to eat them, so you have to cut them open to let the blood out, and then if you want to even cook it, no problem. You cook it with salting it first, and then you can go and cook it in a pot. Sure, it's perfectly good. No machlokas. Again, you want to roast it, taya bishbuda, go and put it up on a spit, and then no problem. All the blood will come out. Base shchito letatoi. Make sure that when you put it on the spit, that the opening is downwards, so the blood can flow out through the base shchita. And then shari, perfectly good, because meidav doi, because the blood will flow out. Again, no machlokas. Where do they have the machlokas? Again, with the mizuke that you put them on the cold. Ach de agumre. If you put the mizuke on the coals, so then pligi ravacha ravina. That's where they have the machlokas. Chad osar. Ravina's the momach position, says it's no good. V'chad shari. And Ravacha's the Mamilinian position, he says that it's good. Now, man di osar, according to Ravina, says that it's no good. How come it's no good? Again, we know the reasoning. Matzmis tzomis. By putting it on the coal, it's going to shrink it, and therefore the blood will stay inside, and it won't come out. But, according to Ravacha, man di shari, mishav shoyv, again, even though it's on the coal, the blood will be able to flow out. And here the Gemara says again, v'hilchasa mishav shoyv. We pass it like the lenient position of Ravacha over here as well. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Hi umso di yismik, you have over here this piece of raw meat that is red, so it has blood inside of it. Chalye osur. So now there's two interpretations. Rashi over here says either the juices that come out from this piece of raw meat, chalye here means the gravy, the juices that come out, so that is not going to be allowed to be eaten. We have to be concerned that there's blood inside of it, but that's only if it's red. That's umso the asmik, if there was red blood here. However, lo asmik, if it doesn't turn red, in other words, it's just white gravy, it's just clear juices, so then, chal yeshari, then this gravy is permitted. That's the first pshat that Rashi has. The second pshat is that you actually soak it in vinegar, and that's what the chal is, it's vinegar. So if the vinegar is reddish tinged, reddish colored, so then you have to be concerned that there's blood inside of it. But if it's clear, the vinegar is still clear, then it's perfectly good. That's the two understandings that Rashi has over here. So that's the first opinion that we have regarding this umtsa. But Ravina, Amar Ravina says, afilo asmik nami chaya osir. He says, even if it's not red, either the juices, the gravy that comes out, or the vinegar, is still going to be osir. Why? Because he says, yevsha, the less bay shuryaki the dama. It's impossible that there isn't some streaks of blood over here. Shuryaki means like streaks, and therefore it's impossible that you won't have some blood in there. in the case of umtsa, the aspic of this reddish umtsa. Now, Amalei Mar Bar Ameimar LeRavashi, Mar, who is the son of Ameimar, said to Ravashi that Abba, my father, Ameimar, Megamale Gamue, he would go and eat this chalye that came out, either the gravy or the vinegar. He would have no problem eating it. He wasn't concerned. He held like the more lenient first opinion that if it wasn't red, there's no problem. Alternatively, Ika Diamre, it was Ravashi himself, Ravashi Gufe, Megamale Gamue. It wasn't that Mar Bar Ameimar told Ravashi, it was Ravashi himself. He held like the more lenient first opinion that as long as it wasn't red, you could have this chalye, either the gravy or the vinegar. Amalei Mar Bar Ameimar LeRavashi. Another statement that Mar Bar Ameimar said to Ravashi. He said, "Abba, my father, Ameimar, hay chala decholit beichod zimra. If you had vinegar over here that was used once to soak the meat, so then tulo tane cholit be. He wouldn't use it again to soak meat. Why not? Why is this second time use is chala any different? Maishna mechala mesama from already weakened vinegar, the chaltina bay, that we normally do go and soak the meat. Why is this second time any different than the first time? It's not very powerful, this chala, anyway. As Rashi points out, cholosh meikaro, the chaltina bay. It's always, by definition, this vinegar is very weak. So why is the first time allowed and the second time not allowed? Shemar says, awesome. In the case of the chala misama, return to ayin hey omen aleph, ise lekiua de pera beine. It has the strength of the fruit because it hasn't been used yet. So albeit the vinegar is weak, it still has the origins where it comes from, the vine, that the vinegar will still be powerful enough to remove some of the blood. Hacha, but when using it the second time, lesser lekiur de peribene, it no longer has the strength of the original fruit, and therefore it only has its own strength, and its own strength has already been weakened because it was used already once. So therefore, that's the distinction between using the first time the vinegar and the second time the vinegar. It's a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.